Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 6, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 83, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Kathy Jo P. on the 12 steps, Brandy E. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Ramona A., Jordan L., and Julie E. B. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning. Yesterday, July 5th at 10 a.m., the number is 11,626. And for this morning, Friday, July 6th, 7 a.m., the reference number is 11,628. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Press star 1, Kathy Jo. Kathy Jo, I don't hear you. Okay, is Julie E.B., are you able to read the 12 steps?
I am.
Thank you, Julie.
Kathy, I can.
Hi.
Go ahead, Julie E.B.
Okay. Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One. We admitted we are powerless over food and our life had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Eight, Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B., and I understand Kathy Jo could not get unmuted, so we're sorry about that, Kathy. And now I'd like to ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, it's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for a OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous and except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, violence, lend the OA name to any, any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Brandy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we are resuming our study of the Big Book on page 83, the third paragraph, which begins, "There may be some wrongs we can never fully right." And I will ask Ramona A. to get us started.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. This is Ramona A., Vermont, and gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. So in all of this, I believe the first time that I made amends, I did not ask for, I don't even remember how it went, but I think I probably was not guided very much. And I have found since then that I need to have two guides. And the first of them is God, my higher power, to let me know what wrongs need to be righted, and if there's a need to delay, you know, and how I can right them. And I know that I've done some with letters at cemeteries, at gravestones, etc. The second guide needs to be a step guide or sponsor, because by myself, I don't know what is the best way to do these. I don't know if it's best for me to, say, send my son a list of all the things I remember that I did wrong as a mother, or if it's best to wait to just see him in person. I have no idea about those things out of my own head. So what I do know is that I also don't know how in each one of these to be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, because I would be the servile and scraping one, or I would be, you know, I could say, oh, it isn't that bad, I didn't do something, or I'm just the horriblest person in the world. So I really need to have the guidance of God to let me know where I'm going and the how to get from my guide or sponsor. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for letting me be of service today. I pass.
Thank you, Ramona A. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Roz G.
Roz G. Anyone else?
Laura A.
Laura A.
Carolyn S.H.
Carolyn S.H. Anyone else?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Okay, why don't we start with this group? We have Roz G., Laura A., Carolyn S.H., and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County, and I'm on my way to work in my car. So I'm listening, and I listened to the earlier meeting as best I could, and I want to say that you know, there's this an amends that with my ex-husband that really was, I needed, let me see. I tried to make amends with him when we first got divorced, which was 15 years old. I wrote him a letter, and I don't know if he really got it or not, but I did the best I could. So I have shared, you know, on the lines of the past couple of weeks that he's in stage 5 renal failure, and he's staying with us because he was homeless, had nowhere else to go. It's a long story, but, you know, he does have a home, but he was not able to go back. So we took him in. You know, God, I believe God spoke to me and said, you know, this is some amends you got to do, because I kicked him out 15 years ago. Now I let him back in to stay, and my kids are nursing him, taking him to dialysis. And so last night I went into his room and sat at the edge of the bed and felt his body. It was just, like, really bony. And I just said, you know, how are you doing? And we talked for a while, and we both apologized to each other, meaning it, like, I forgive you for everything. And he said, I forgive you for everything too. And he said, thank you so much for what you're doing. And I said, I know you would do the same for me. And he said, yes, I would. So all of those years of anger and stuff that, you know, specific things that, you know, I could bring up, I just, that would bring harm. And God has really worked in my heart to allow me to, you know, really act out forgiveness versus writing a letter. So we don't know how long he's going to live, but we're committed to helping him. whether he, you know, is able to move into his own place or we're able to, you know, keep him until God decides to take him. That is a beautiful amends that I've experienced, and it's beautiful. The big book is true. It works. It really does. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Laura A., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Laura A., recovering in New Hampshire. And when I heard this paragraph being read, I was reminded of a time when I was making an amends to a longtime friend of mine over the telephone, and I called her, and I had my whole thing planned and had written down notes and everything like that. And as we started to talk, I realized that she was actually in the middle of a family crisis. And so trying to push my agenda and make an amends was like completely off kilter and was inappropriate. And I was so grateful that I felt the presence of, you know, my higher power come in and say, Laura, stop. Don't, you know, put your stuff aside and listen to her and let her talk and let her say what she needs to say or whatever. This is not the time. And I was just so grateful because, you know, sometimes we get our list of amends and we just want to do them and get them done and tick off all the boxes. And I believe for me, my higher power just wants me to learn and actually amend my behavior. You know, maybe somebody else has something, you know, a lot more important at the moment that I can, you know, do a living amends by listening. And I was able at a later time, you know, I spoke to her later when it was more appropriate. And I was just really grateful for that lesson in that moment to say, whoa, you know, and that's what, for me, what recovery is about is those moments, those teeny moments of clarity that really helped me to amend my behavior. My agenda was not the most important thing. The most important thing in that moment was for me to listen to my friend. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you very much, Laura A. Carolyn S.H., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy K. This is Carolyn S.H. I'm starting my timer. And, oops. Carolyn S.H. calling from Massachusetts. This paragraph is very personal to me and very, very helpful. The six, I guess they're adjectives there, sensible, tactful, considerate, humble, those are the positive ones. And the negative ones, servile and scraping. And I've looked them all up. I'm not going to go into all the definitions, but this was a very, very key paragraph to me because part of my harm that I've done over the years is to be phony nice and phony servile. And so I was like, and then I would, you know, hate people inwardly and resent the heck out of everybody. And so in my amends, the amends that I've done over the years, some of them I've done really beautifully, and I was able to be tactful and considerate and sensible and humble. And some of the words that also mean that to me, modern day words, are like mindful, like just to be fully present and aware and kindly aware of what the other person, where they're coming from, where I'm coming from, that kind of attitude. And I've been able to do that in the past. But lately, like my new round of amends is, it feels like this whole concept is going much more deep because I still show up, especially in my family of origin, with those last two adjectives, be servile or scraping, and then I still hate them, right? So I'm finding new ways of showing up and doing living amends, especially with my siblings, around not playing I was the youngest, not playing the youngest and blaming them for everything. And it's a long held pattern. And when I looked up servile, I do want to say what came up, and I have 42 seconds, is submissive and fawning. And when I grew up, that's how I was taught to be. And that's how everyone, like, that's just the culture that my poor parents grew up in. That's what they taught us. And it really doesn't help anybody. And it's not loving. It's not a loving thing to be submissive. So just coming out of that, like I, this paragraph is so rich to me. So now when I show up and do an amends, it's really like a tightrope for me to stay in that lane. And my time is almost up. There it is. To stay in that lane of being my own individual, connected to God, and not putting any kind of responsibility on the other person. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S.H. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O. Thank you, Kathy K., for your service. Recovered in Northern California. And this is such a great paragraph because we're actually at the end. And if we do all this and follow these directions, we get those wonderful promises that we are promised at the end. Timing really was everything. I have a dog that doesn't like to be separated. Some of the amends I did very quickly, and others I didn't make because they would harm others. And others, due to the fact that the people were dead, I was never able to make personal amends. But this is really, it's about admitting the damage I did. And when I do make personal amends, making a sincere apology and then moving forward, being the kind of person who is patient, kind, loving, and tolerant so that I don't repeat the same behavior. If I'm making amends over and over again, that is really kind of a sign to me that I'm not very recovered. And the sentence, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases. And when I did my difficult amends, I was very fortunate that I had a sponsor that didn't say you have to do them all right away and you have to get them done. Many of the amends that I made, I really did get kind of a feeling of exhilaration, so I did want to move forward with most of my amends, but there were some that really were causing me great anxiety. And I tell sponsees, this program isn't meant to create anxiety. That's not what it's all about. And to be willing to make these difficult amends and really kind of have an idea what I would say when the opportunity presented itself. But timing was everything. Sometimes I just didn't feel, there were some that I didn't feel like I could just bomb forward and, call them up and make an appointment. And with the help of my sponsor and also my fellows and particularly God, I mean, it was really amazing how my higher power put these people in front of me in the strangest situations where I was able to make the amends. And so it really is, this trust and faith and being willing to just clean everything up because in doing so, I don't have to make as many amends now because I do just try to take a deep breath and pause so that I don't react to things. I respond to them. And when I respond, I really do try to be patient, kind, loving, and tolerant. Am I perfect at that? Absolutely not. But I do my best, and that's the best I can do. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, sorry for my timer going off. I tried to stop it, but I couldn't. Thank you for your share. Who else would like to share now?
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Julie E.B.
Wendy M.
Julie E.B. Wendy M. Who's after Wendy?
Sarit L.
Cherie L.
Yes, Sarit from Montreal.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sarit.
Eileen S.
Eileen S.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. Okay, let's stop there and see how we do. We have Ginger C, Julie E. B., Wendy M., Sherry L., Eileen S., Jordan L., and Marilyn T. Did I miss anybody? Okay, great. Ginger C., please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And, you know, thank God for this work, because I have created so much harm in my life as an addict. And this is where I get to take responsibility. This is where I get to, you know, a price has to be paid. It's this destruction of this self-centeredness, this ego, this me. And I get to take responsibility, accountability. So hopefully I don't continue to create harm as I go through life. So again, we're so blessed and fortunate to have this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, these clear-cut directions, because I was not born with this manual for living, but God gave it to me, and I'm just so, again, grateful to be in it and doing it. And, you know, we can't always see people, you know, and one of my amends was to my father, and he died. And so I got to write this beautiful letter to him, owning my part, owning my harms, taking responsibility, and then I got to burn it and send it to him. And, you know, I love the book. It says 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. Well, part of my amends, I had been given this beautiful prayer by Mother Teresa, and it's titled Anyway. And it basically is in alignment with these principles that we try to live a day at a time. And I just, ever since I saw that prayer, I was like, Dad, I'm going to do this for you. This is your prayer. This is what I want to show up in this world. And just have you in my heart as I think about this prayer and how to go through this thing called life. And years, years, years after my dad died, he died when I was 21. It was years later that I went back to Kentucky to where he died, and I actually went into the building, the actual restaurant. He had a massive heart attack, and that was his last moments here on this planet Earth. And I went back to that building, the actual place where that heart attack occurred. And it was overwhelming, and I was crying, and I was in a public place. So I just went into the bathroom to try to get, you know, have that space. And I go into this bathroom, and I look up, and all along the very top is the prayer Anyway by Mother Teresa. And it was like, wow, you can't create this stuff. And it was like him saying back, I see you. I see what you're doing, and you're a beautiful person. And I accept that amends. So do not quit before the miracle, because it is this transformation. And to me, it's in 9 where a lot of this stuff happens. But most importantly, so I can be with God and directed and guided in this new beautiful way. So again, I'm not creating more harm as I go through this thing called life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in the state of Colorado. When I hear this, I think about my financial amends. I had a full legal sheet of financial amends, and it had to do with illnesses in my family, but mostly it had to do with my disease and my selfishness and not liking reality, not liking to separate the true from the false, taking responsibility, getting on payment plans, finding out what I can do. One of the things that I did was go early to someone who was on that list. And one of my kids had turned over 18, so they couldn't tell me anything about the debt but wanted me to pay. And I felt such overwhelming shame. My head was hung low, and I lost it. And I talked to my sponsor, and I went back the next day, and I made an amends for my amends. But I learned something, that if I'm nothing, then my God created nothing. And so it was really important for me to be able to take these steps. The other impulse is that I wanted recovery, and I wanted it now and on my timetable. So I really wanted to pauper my family, to put my family in extreme financial stress in order that I would have it done now, here and now. I don't know if anyone else is like me out there, but I wanted this fixed, and I wanted it faced now, quickly. But God showed me a better way. And as I leaned into God and looked at my motives, God showed me a way to do it over time and just have a handful left of that full legal sheet. What a miracle. And so if you're just starting and overwhelmed by all this nine-step talk, just work those first steps. Just come to realize you can't do it yourself. And there's a lot of us out here willing to help you, and it might be worth a try. Thanks for letting me share today.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And thank you very much, Kathy, for your service and everyone on the line. And I thank God for entire abstinence this morning. So the words that pop out for me are definitely servile, scraping, crawling, as opposed to standing. And the reason why they stand out for me is because servile and scraping, that was my strategy. Those were my tools. That's what I did. When I didn't like someone, I was servile. And when I really hated them, I was extra servile. I was extra scraping. And as somebody said so well, I was phony. God, I haven't heard that word in years, but I was phony, right? Because I was just in fear and totally disconnected. And I was servile all the time. That was always going to be my strategy. It was completely insincere. And, you know, I was just so disconnected. And, you know, I hear before I was in vision, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're swimming in, right? I'm swimming in servile. And then I read on page 83 this word servile and scraping. I'm like, yes, you're naming my experience. That is exactly how I walk through the world. That was my tool. That was my tool. And what I'm finding is, it was really interesting this morning, I had a lot of resentment and a lot of fear and a lot of anger towards a family member. And she asked me, let's get together today. You know, the God's like, what are you going to do, Wendy? And my first go-to was, how do I, like, I'm so pissed at her. How can I be as servile and scraping as possible so she won't know how I'm feeling, right? So this not, the cat's not going to get it out of the bag. And I just wrote to God, like, how would you have me be? I'm terrified. How would you have me be? And God's like, I don't need you to be servile. I need to be loving, right? Because what I find is my defects keep me hating her, right? It's my defects. It has nothing to do with her at all. You know, it's zero to do with her. And if I can get to my defects, and to me, this is a ninth step, right? This is an amends. This is the living amends right now, you know, that my defects keep me hating her and praying and releasing those defects. I'm in my own way from loving this woman. And the minute God showed me that, and the minute I was willing to let go of that defect, I could make the living amends. And tell her that I love her and I'm excited about her and her son and what they're doing. It stopped being about Wendy. And to me, this paragraph not only helps us with directions about the ninth step, it tells me how to walk in the world. It tells me to stand on my feet. I'm not below and I'm not above. I'm connected. I'm with you. That's what I know today. You know. And the other thing, I don't know if I have a second or not, is, you know, when we can't go to that person, like my father passed away, I went to his gravesite, I read the letter, and I wept. It was one of my best and most favorite transformative movements with him. It was beautiful. So there's always going to be a creative way that we can do these amends, even if we can't find these people or they've passed or whatever it is. And we do not delay. Absolutely. I've got sponsees who have gone out, who have eaten during the ninth step because of delays. So that's all I'm going to say. Thanks for letting me share it today. Love you all.
Thank you, Wendy. Charlotte L., please go ahead.
Hi, it's Sarita L. from Montreal. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Sarita.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Montreal. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy. So I was reading in the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of AA, and it says here that the moment we tell our families that we're really going to try the program, the process has begun. And good judgment, a careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence, these are the qualities we shall need when we take step 9. I'm not done. As soon as I enter these rooms, I have just started. I have just started my amends, but it is so minute. And to think that I'm done just because I've put the food down is far from the truth, far from the truth. And I wish that my kids would just see and my husband would just see that the mommy and the wife that they're getting today is not the same person because I am abstinent today. I am able to take that pause, but I am a messier me when it's just abstinence. And I still want my way when it's just abstinence. And all those defects still come climbing up daily a million times. And so that's where the steps come in. And when I work these steps, and it's the steps, it's making these amends and it's living in steps 10, 11, and 12 that have really, for me, the transformation is actually slow. It's painfully slow, but it is a daily transformation. And I'm able to write down progresses every day. But it's slow. And then I want to shout out to them, do you just realize that the pause I took right now, the scream that I didn't do, the patience that I just had, that's only because of my program. And they don't necessarily see that, and they can't pinpoint those few minute progress steps that I've taken. But it's there, and it's slow, and that's the hardest thing for me is my living amends. It is daily work, and it is so painful, and it is pushing against my ego. It is ego smashing. I am pushing against my pride. Thank God for this book. This big book is my manual for life. I did not have one. I did not know how to face people. Besides for facing life, I didn't know how to grow up and face people. How do I interact with in all my relationships, and especially with my husband? I am not less than. And I learned that I do lots of things just because I feel less than. The dishonesties, the fears that have come up, and the secrets, the lies I didn't tell, the lies I've told, the secrets I didn't tell, those are all because I just felt less than. So part of me just being abstinent and build, and in this program is also building my confidence and my self-esteem and doing good things for me that can then transform over into my interactions with other people. Thank you so much for this program. Thank God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherita. Eileen S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Thank you so much, Kathy, and for everybody on the line. I so appreciate hearing what I've heard. You can hear me, right?
I can.
Okay, good. I don't want to keep going. I just need to go back to the sentence from yesterday. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And I love that line so much because I have to live it. And part of it is doing the amends. And I first of all, I want to say to people who are new, for me, the guidance that I feel from my higher power and that I get on a regular basis is because I've put down the food and I have a clear connection. I don't get the guidance all the time. I certainly get into my character defects, but the food being cleared away, I have a clear channel, and that's huge for me. And I'm very clear that that's why I can get the guidance I'm getting right now. I had an experience last weekend where my brother and I moved my 88-year-old mother from Los Angeles to San Diego, and we had to go through her 3-bedroom, 4-bath condo, and we had to go through the whole thing and take things and move things and decide and ask her. And she's got a little bit of dementia. She's partially present and partially not. But where the program comes in for me is I just went with the flow. And let me tell you, I'm not a go-with-the-flow kind of girl on my own, by myself, figuring things out. I want to control everything. And my brother had all kinds of plans, and my brother and I are very close, but we got closer as a result of this experience. And I knew what the schedule was going to be, and then it kept changing, and I don't like that. But I heard myself say when I was asked, how about if we do this, instead of having to come up with my own ideas every time, no, let's do this, I heard myself say, okay. I heard myself say, sure. And that was not me, let me tell you guys. That was not me. And because even going through all that, I was able to stay clean and abstinent. And because of that, and I even had a conversation with my brother, like, you know, I could have gone a different way. It could have been really, really stressful with lots and lots of conflict. And it wasn't. And so I was able to make living amends to my brother, to my mom, to make this be as loving and clear an experience that was super stressful as it could possibly have been. I'm still kind of unpacking it, and I'm still kind of basking in the oh my God of this experience that was as smooth as it could possibly have been considering the circumstances. And there was a plan A, there was a plan B, and there was a plan C. And I want to do plan A. Well, we ended up doing plan C and probably some plan Ds. And there was no conflict around that. And I am still in awe of how that worked. And it is truly because I'm abstinent and because of this program. And part of the time when I was there, I called some of you and I listened to some of the phone meetings when I could. I went to one meeting when I was in LA, and just remembering that the spiritual life, this is me, the spiritual life is not a theory. It's not about studying. It's not about getting an A. It's about living this. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen S. Jordan L., please share with us.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Kathy?
Yes, I can.
My name is Jordan L. I am I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, hanging out in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of Colorado this morning. So I love this meeting. I feel like in a lot of ways it's kind of saved my life here in the last 9 months or so. And I love sharing on this meeting. I love sharing like what I've discovered so far in this like journey through the big book. It helps me a lot to like verbalize it. And this meeting has been like a safe place to do that, right? But I've just been listening for the last couple of weeks, partially because I work late in the summers. I work in the evenings in the summers, and sometimes I'm at work until like 3 or 4 a.m., and I can't get up and get live on the meeting, so I'm just listening to the recordings. But I've been listening intently for the last couple of weeks now through these amends directions, right? Because Bill was like... Bill, in, like, the first 100, like, most of them were, like, these middle-class white guys in their, like, 40s or whatever that had gotten sober, and a lot of them had, like, the same situations, the same scrapes that they had to clean up and whatnot, and they're not really applicable to me. Like, I don't have a wife and alimony and, you know, like, some of the real specific directions that they've been talking about. But I like this last paragraph because it gives me some more general ones about being, like, sensible and tactful and not servile or scraping and stuff like that. But anyway, I've been listening intently because I have this amends on my plate, this amends that I've written to my mom. and I haven't made it. And it's been written for a while now. My sponsor's listening, and she knows when I wrote it because I read it to her when I first wrote it, and I still haven't made it. And it's like, you know, it's for, like, behaviors that I feel like she taught me. And I'm mad at her for teaching me that stuff. And I, you know, like, I can't make this amends to her because it would be just words. Because I would literally, I literally turn around and I'll do the same thing, man. And I just, like, I don't see it yet. I don't see the light around it or whatever you want to call it, you know, like God's light around all of this. I just don't see it yet. So I don't have any great advice to give this morning other than I hear the timer and I will keep showing up and I will keep listening until, like, I see the light around it, you know? So anyway, that's all I got this morning.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, Marilyn T., you'll be our last share this morning. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Marilyn T. from California, a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph just reminds me, timing. Timing is everything, and you really do have to have two guides. If you don't, you're going to make another resentment, amends, or what have you, a disaster, another tornado, cyclone in the lives of people that you probably care very much about. And even if you don't, why make it worse? You know, so your two guides are God first and second, your sponsor. And I cannot tell you how valuable doing the steps this way with a vision for you has been for me. I've been able to see resentments that I had hid from myself, and God has slowly revealed them when I'm able to accept them, even after doing the fourth step while doing the eighth and ninth. You know, he has brought things into my awareness that he felt I couldn't handle in the beginning, some deep hurts, and he revealed them to me, and we have had to add them on. Another example would be even in the eighth, when we were making the list of people to make amends to from the fourth step, finding my brother was coming to visit, and I hadn't, he doesn't live around me, so I wanted to be able to do an amends in person. But she said, slow down. This may not work. This may be too soon. You know, what do you want to say? Run it by me. Let's talk about this. I mean, all in God's time, and some careful study was done on it and what to be said if an opportunity was to come up. And it did come up, and I was able to ask for, I was able to give an amends. I left home very early, and I left my brother and sister in an environment that wasn't healthy. And I never even looked back when I left at 17, never cared about them, never looked back. And I wanted to give an amends on that. And my brother's also in recovery, and he is now in relapse in a different program. And I wanted to be able to do a living amends. I wanted to be able to do my part with no ifs, ands, or buts about him. Had nothing to do, you know, wasn't about his problems. And in the end, when I made my amends about not really thinking about him when I left or staying connected, breaking that connection, he said, wait a minute, just because you're the oldest didn't make you in charge of me. We all have our own higher power, and we all do our own thing, and we all make our own mistakes. And that, to me, was higher power working big time. Thank God for this program. Thank God for my sponsor. Internally grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. We have time, 1 minute. Is there anyone with a short share? Okay. Then we will close the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. So I'm just pulling up A Vision for You here. So this is A Vision for You from the last chapter of the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and more to me and more to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God. Sorry. As you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.